Second Timothy. We have been hashing out being a servant for Jesus Christ. We have been hashing out what can we do, should we? And we're going to talk today about, does your service really matter? And in the grand scheme of things, you may think it doesn't. But what if everybody took that attitude? You must understand, you may feel like you've got nothing to offer. You may feel like what you're doing doesn't matter. But I'm going to be honest with you. If you feel that way, then you're not taking your spot. You're not taking your spot where you should be in the service of the Lord. Now, when you got saved, and I know this is all kind of review, but just stick with me for a minute. When you got saved, the Lord did not save you so you could just look pretty in church. And some of you do great at that. Some others are a little challenged, but praise the Lord anyhow. But you did get saved so you could serve Him. You did, and praise the Lord, by the way, this morning, two buses are passed. So we had two buses go out today. For the first time. For the first time ever, the shuttle is finally out on the road. Praise the Lord, glory to God, hallelujah, amen. But anyways, that's out, and the bus workers are thrilled, and the bus workers are right back at it again, and I think we're pretty close on the big one, getting ready to get that passed. We had a surprise inspection. They didn't even, well, he called me, but I was in the middle of that funeral, and he just came out and showed up and told my wife, well, he said, I had to come out because I know that you've got church this Sunday, and I know you need to get these buses running. So the trooper's a very nice man. It's the inspectors that give us fits. I don't know why a local number on the side of a bus would fail a bus. And I mean, I know not having a number on the bus, our drivers literally drive off cliffs when that happens. I know that's really, but anyhow, I hate inspection with a holy passion. But anyways, so we talk about over and over again about taking your spot, about doing what you can do. Now, there's things that only you can do, and I know we've said this before. You just got saved. Perfect example. There's things that only you can do for the Lord. He's got you separated to do something for Him. You say, well, what in the world can I do? You're new. You'll find out. But you have to continue to do things for the Lord until He'll show you, but He's not going to show somebody that's not going to do anything for Him. He's not going to show somebody that's not willing to do what God has asked them to do, no matter what it is. It might be painting a wall. It might be picking up trash. It might be doing things. Though you say, well, that's below me. That's why you're not serving the Lord. Well, that's below. That's why the Lord's not blessing you with the ability to serve Him, because He wants to see you do the little things. Those that are faithful in the little things, He'll let be faithful in the big things. Don't imagine that you're going to start out with big things. I love people just get saved. I'm going to be a preacher someday. I wouldn't give you a dime for a preacher that hadn't been in the bus ministry. Amen? That went over like a lead balloon. I think a preacher ought to be involved in the bus ministry. Why? Because you see a side that no one else gets to see. You see a side, a care, a charity that you have to offer, and I'm going to tell you, you will not go away the same if you spend some time in the bus ministry. That's just what you ought to do. There's always positions available. I don't believe any bus worker would kick anybody off their bus for coming out and serving on the bus. We always need more workers. So there's nothing wrong with trying to find a spot or what it is. Our problem is we decide how we're going to serve God. Well, God, I got saved, and I'm going to serve You, but this is the way I'm going to do it. You go back when I got saved at 11 years old at the Lighthouse, I promise you this, I never envisioned anything that I would do for the Lord. Why? Because there's no way I'm good enough to do anything for the Lord. By the way, still not good enough to do anything for the Lord. He's just using an old sinner saved by grace to do it. And so are you. Now, I want to take you to a couple of people here that we're going to talk about. Does your service matter? Does it matter that you serve the Lord? And I've talked about this in a couple of different ways, but I want to introduce you to a couple of ladies. We're going to talk about 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5 together. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Now, I want to take just one moment here. This is Paul speaking here. I want you to get this. Paul did not start out as a servant of the Lord. We know what Paul started out as, correct? Paul started out as Saul, who was a murderer of Christians, a person that put people in jail for believing in the Word of God. Amen? Now, I want you to see this. This verse is very important. I thank God whom I serve. Who does he serve? I know that's very simple, but him serving God is important. And then I want to stop right here for a moment, because this is one thing that frustrates me more than anything else about somebody serving the Lord. You do not serve the preacher. No, and I say that because of this. Let me ask you a question. Did I tell you who painted the Becca building? Do you know why I didn't tell you who painted the Becca building? None of your business. They're serving the Lord, not you. And I don't think you should desire to have yourself told before the church that you painted the Becca building. I know that's just an example. Why we get so hung up as human beings. Do you need to listen to this? He serves God, and you got to understand something. You serve God, and he knows that you're serving him. Far too many times we find ourselves up on the stage getting backpedaled. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with being held up for your faithfulness. Nothing wrong with that. But when you start to look to be up here, when you start to look to have yourself getting accolades from men, who are men? They're sinners just like you. I think faith should be admired. I think longevity in Christ should be admired. But at the very same time, I think that we ought to quit worrying about what other folks are doing and start worrying about what we can do. I thank God whom I serve. Because who do you serve today? I've told you this over and over again. For the first 3 years of my ministry, I served preacher, no doubt about it. I tried desperately to please that man. And at the end of that time, I come to the realization, it's not working. Oh, I was pleasing him, but that wasn't giving me any fulfillment whatsoever. I wasn't getting any better at serving God. I was so worried about racking my brains and how I could serve my father-in-law, I forgot all about whom I serve. I serve Pastor Skyver. That's not what we're supposed to talk about. We're supposed to talk about, I serve God. I serve God. And let me tell you something. If you serve God, guess who you're going to please? God. And what's more important than pleasing God? Amen? Now, God may ask you to plunge a toilet. I serve God. God might ask you to do something, and I know this is all review. I get that. But you know what's amazing to me is people still miss it. Every single day, I have people come up to me and say, man, maybe I could do this from the pulpit. Why do you have to do something from the pulpit? I wonder about that all the time. You say, well, it's easy for you to wonder. You're a preacher. You're behind it all the time. Do you know how nervous I get before I come over here? Every time I preach, there's not one time, every funeral, every time I preach, every time I sing, I'm nervous. I'm very nervous. I got to pray that God calms me down. And I got people around me that say, I never get nervous. I'm sorry, you must not be serving the right person. Because I serve God, and I'm telling you right now, and I don't say that boastfully. I don't know why God picked me. But understand this, he did, and I want to make sure that I serve and please him. Let me tell you, hold on to this. If you get caught up in pleasing people, you're going to please people. But you're not looking to please people. You're looking to please God. Brother, if you're preaching and you're looking to please people, you will not please God. Preachers all across America, Joel Osteen, I promise you, has prepared a wonderful, 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 palpable message that everyone will be excited about and everyone will love and everyone will lap up, and God will not be pleased. Did you actually say that he will not be pleased? If you're not talking about what we need to do to further God's kingdom, then God will not be pleased. But we get wrapped up in what can we do to further people. And I want to help people. But if you please God, you'll help people. It's God you've got to please, not the people. If I came over here to please people, I'd have six jokes, a fluffy message, and we'd be all done with singing. But that's not what America needs right now. That's not what the people of God need. The people of God need to be going out soul winning. The people of God need to be talking about the sin of this world. The people of God need to be realizing that we are serving a holy and almighty God today. I thank God whom I serve. If we could remember that, the rest of this message would go a lot easier. Now, as we continue, from my forefathers, the service that you do did not begin with you. The service that you do did not begin with you. We do not fight the same battles that they fought way back. We don't just owe a debt to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we owe a debt we'll never be able to repay. Not only do we owe him a debt, we owe a debt to the people that have passed down this faith to us. Many people have died. Many people have suffered. Many people had church in their homes. Many people were underground. Many people were suffering persecution and being chased and being sought out and being put to the stake and all those things. And that was passed down to us with people that had no fear. And yet here we are at Bethel Baptist Church in 2013. Can you believe how far along we've come? And yet we still have no fear of the Lord Jesus Christ. We still don't remember what the great pains and the great suffering that was used to pass this faith down to us, this golden faith that we have, this faith that is more precious than the finest gold in the whole wide world. That faith, that what you have today, that truth, that word, what you have today was painfully brought to us. And I'm going to tell you, you should serve God, if nothing else, for the past people that have paid for us to be able to know about it. God brought it through, and we can say, well, holy men brought it through. I understand that's what I hesitate to say, holy men, because we are sinners. But I know why God says that. These are people that consider the service of God such a privilege and such an honor that they're doing their best not to be defiled by the world. Doing their best not to be defiled. Listen, I had a fellow just come up to me last week and said, I haven't sinned since I was blah, blah, blah. You are lying to yourself. Every one of us are still sinners, and that's what should make you want to serve God the more. Because you're a sinner, you know you're going to mess up, and God knows you're going to mess up. But what's wonderful about God, if your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart, so you can continue to serve God. So wonderful. It's so wonderful serving the Lord. I had something happen to me just this last week on a Tuesday. And I'm telling you, I couldn't take it. I was in the flesh so bad last week on Tuesday. What? I know I'm the only one that ever gets like that. Wednesday comes along and I had to call Brother Turner. I said, hey, buddy, you're going to have to teach a lesson tonight because I'm not in the spirit to be behind a pulpit of any sort. I was so mad. It was justified, but it doesn't make it right. Amen. It's justified, but it doesn't make it right. And it's easy to get that way, and I understand that I'm the only one in the room that ever does that, but you must come to the realization that we are sinners. We are going to get to that position. In serving God, you've got to understand who you are and who He is. Now, these forefathers have passed this down to us. Now, I want to introduce you to these two ladies if we ever get to it. If you read let's go to verse 3 again. I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, that's unlying, truth, true faith, the faith. There's only one faith that has been passed down, only one. It's not the faith of Buddha, it's not the faith of Hindu, it's not the faith of Catholic, it's not the faith of the current day Methodist, it's not that faith. It's the faith of God and Jesus Christ and His Word. That's the faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Now I just want to, did it matter? Lois and Eunice are mentioned here, not talked about much in the Bible. Timothy was an integral part of the Christianity back in those days. He really was. And I want to ask you a question. Did it matter that Lois held that faith in her life? Did it matter? Now, wait a minute. It doesn't say that Lois led 1 million people to Christ, does it? Doesn't say that. We should go out soul winning, and we should have a desire to lead people to Christ. But what did Lois do? I'll show you in a minute. Lois trained Eunice. She led a life. I'm not for lifestyle evangelism. I'm not. But your lifestyle could do a little evangelizing. Amen? We could be different. We don't have to act like the world acts. Amen? Okay, just kind of throwing that out there. We do not have to be interested in what the world is doing and try to make it part of our lives. Well, the Bible says to become all things to all people, by all means we might win some. That's for people we can understand what they're doing. That doesn't mean we go to the bar and have a few drinks to lead somebody to Christ. Okay? We don't partake of the sin to win the sinner. Amen? Okay. This unfeigned faith, this uncompromising faith, this stance that was taken, this position that Lois decided in her life that this is how I'm going to live, this is how my family's going to live. We may be ridiculed. I know in my family, I'm ridiculed. I'm the Baptist snake handler, okay? I'm the one that's rolling down the aisle, holy rolling. I'm the guy, okay? That's fine. And my family treats me as such. I don't go to the, I'm not part of Lutheran church anymore because I'm not part of Lutheran church. I don't come to church going, holy, holy, holy. I'm out of that now. And because I'm out of that, but I'm not going to let my children learn that that's okay to make everybody happy. I'm not going to let my children think that Facebook is okay just to make everybody happy. I'm not going to, and by the way, boy, how did I get on that? There it is again. Brother, I got 75% of my people in this church on Facebook. Glory to God, go ahead, waste your time. But I would to God that you'd stick with your Bible calendars. That's why nobody comes to Sunday school. That's why. That's it. Here's the problem. We have a choice in our life. We have a choice to live our lives according to what God, whom you serve, would have us to live. And if we do that, it is not in vain. Hey, listen, my kids may not turn out right. That's just the way it is. Kids all across America that are preachers' kids and missionaries' kids, and they turn out wrong. I don't know how it happens, but in the Bible it happened too. But you may have just the opposite. A bad family turn out a good kid, and you all throw up your hands and say, well, preacher, why do we fight? Because it's your job as a parent to fight. It's your job as a family member to fight. It's your job as a Christian to fight. It's your job as a servant to fight. To show the world that you still can live this way. To show the world that it's still not right to have sin. You're going to have it, but it's not right. And you know it when you do it. I'm going to tell you, I felt horrible for 2 days about the way I felt in my heart, the flesh that overtook me. I felt so bad about it. I didn't know what to do. I'm telling you, I was depressed. But then I come to the realization again that God has so much mercy and God is so wonderful. He can still take somebody who felt so badly and go ahead and let him serve. I serve God. That's who I serve. I'm so thankful I've got a merciful boss. Now, as we look at this, was it worth Lois doing what she did? Was it worth Lois passing it down to Eunice? Lois didn't pass it down to Timothy, or did she? Hold on now. Hold on now. She passed it down to Eunice. Well, who did Eunice give it to? Eunice learned from Lois what to do. And let me tell you, I'm going to show you right now. It's just a little further in the Bible. What did she show her? What did she give? What did she pass? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's go up to verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. The Lord delivered him out of all those things. Look, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall have a bed of roses for the rest of their days. She'll live wondrously and click heels all day long. You shall suffer persecution. Well, then why did I sign up? Because persecution only lasts for a short time. Huh? Is this your address? Is this your home? This is not your home. You are sojourners. You are pilgrims here. You will not be here forever, but while you are here, wouldn't it be great to serve the Lord with everything you've got? Now hold on. Look at this now. Verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And we're seeing that every single day. That's nothing new. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child, this is Timothy as a child, and that from a child thou hast known what? What did he learn? He learned not what Lois had to say. He learned not what Eunice had to say. He learned what God had to say. Look at this now. That thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now understand this. If nothing else that you pass down to your family and down the line, at least pass the word of God. Because understand this, we don't grab this faith that we have out of the air. We don't grab, why do you baptize by immersion? Because the Bible tells us to. Why do you lead somebody to Christ? Why do you pray the sinner's prayer? Why do you that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved? Why do you believe that? Because that's the Holy Scriptures. That's what God has passed to us. That's his orders. What do we pass down? Listen, not everybody's going to take it. What if my babies don't take it? What happens if Luke and Tiffany and Natalie all of a sudden say, Dad, you're nuts? Well, of course, it's not sudden. They've said that before. What happens if they decide, we're not going to follow what you follow? Let me ask you something. Do you change what that says so you can make it more accepted? Or do you just believe what that says? Now, Timothy turned out right. Amen? Timothy turned out. Was it worth Lois's toil? Now, the Bible said she suffered persecution. I guarantee you she did. Amen? Was it worth the suffering? Was it worth the suffering and passing it down to Eunice? Was there time? Eunice was a sinner. I guarantee you Eunice bucked what Mama had to say. It happens. How many of you fight with your kids to come to church? Liars. I'm going to tell you, my son, my daughters are, woohoo, but my son, good Lord, again, okay? And it's not that he's a bad boy. He doesn't want to get up in the morning, okay? But what should I do? What should I do? We're supposed to serve God. How can we best do that? How can we do that? Is it worth it? Is it worth the battle in the morning? Is it worth the battle for you? I mean, how many of you battled to come to church today? Come on, you woke up this morning and said, oh, good Lord, we're just going to go to Sunday school and hear Pastor Dave get stupid again. We're so sick of hearing about this over and over. And, oh, man, Brother Dave, quit talking about service because I'm not going to do it anyhow. I mean, here's what you, look, can I ask you a question? What should you do? You came to church today. You came to Sunday school this morning. You did what God wanted you to do. And is it worth it? Not because of the message. I'm not talking about that. Is it worth it because there's somebody that's watching you? Do you think that Timothy grew up being allowed to stay out of church? Huh? Do you think Timothy grew up, if he had heard the Holy Scriptures from a child, he was probably in church. He was probably being taught on the knees of his grandma and in the knees of his mama the things of the Holy Scripture. Was it worth it? Because Timothy decided he was going to serve God, and Timothy became a great servant of God. Is it worth it? Let me ask you a question. What if it stops with us? Think, what happens if Lois decides It's just not worth it. What happens? Does Eunice serve God? I mean, you can say, oh, Brother Dave, I believe that it's possible for Eunice to go ahead and serve God. It's possible. But it's not as possible, not as probable. What's your job? What would happen if you did not take your place? What would happen if you, is it worth it? Is it worth it? I figured they were going to be here today because of Austin's graduation, but here's a perfect example. And my Uncle Joe loves this kind of stuff. He loves it when he's talked about. What would happen? I was 11 years old. They're who took me to church. Aunt Cindy's going to cry here in a minute. Watch. I did it. That's why I'm doing this. I wanted to cry today. What would have happened if they didn't go to church on that Sunday? What would have happened if you didn't go to church on that Sunday? 1981, 11 years old, upstairs, Ron Brown, I got led to Christ. What happens if they don't go to church on that Sunday? What happens if, while my nephew's not going to like it? Did that run through your mind? Maybe that I wouldn't like church? Huh? I didn't go to church. I went to a Lutheran church, but that's not fun. It's not fun unless you're ringing the bell and holding the rope down and riding up the... That's fun. But that's not... God didn't tell me to do that. Can you answer me? What would have happened? Here's the thing. I got to ask myself, would I be here today if they decided for one, just one day? Just one day! Just one day decide I'm not going to go to church. I don't want to get my nephew up. I don't want to make, he's having fun right now. I don't want to make him go to church. I don't want to take him over there. I don't want to do it because I don't want to introduce my faith to him. I don't want him to see. I don't want him to run home. And by the way, there was a little turmoil after that. I go home and tell my mom and dad got saved. There was turmoil after that. Boy, the way the turmoil didn't stop. I'm going to tell you right now, was it worth it? Well, let me tell you something. I stand before you today preaching the Word of God because two people decided for one day that they were going to go ahead and serve God no matter what. Did they lead me to Christ? No. But they took me to a place where I could hear about Him. And they took me to that place, why? Because they wanted to serve the Lord. And now here I am preaching for almost 20 years. Can you believe that? For almost 20 years, I've stood in a pulpit from time to time preaching the Word of God because somebody decided that they were going to take an 11-year-old boy to hear about Jesus Christ. Is it worth it? I can ask you, here you are. Was it worth it? Here I am. Better been worth it. It might not be worth it right at this time because now I'm preaching and here you're getting, I'm flapping my gums at you now, but it was worth it to see a young man get saved. It was worth it because God directed them to continue to serve the Lord. Not everything that you ever did turned out right. Right? I mean, there's been problems. Lots of failures along the way. But guess what? It was worth it. See, you got to understand something. You think you get saved, you start serving the Lord, everything's going to turn out right. Does that happen? I was just in the flesh, 5 days ago. 5 days ago, you didn't want to be anywhere near me. I could have fried an egg on this forehead. Not everything turns out golden. Not everything turns out wonderful. But is it worth it? I read the verse. You shall suffer persecution, but as our jobs as servants of Christ, you still must live as we ought to live. Whether you think it's worth it or not, I'm telling you, it's worth it. It's worth it. Somebody led you to Christ, Brother Bob Edwards. Man, I wish they wouldn't have. No, praise the Lord. Somebody led you to Christ. That person that day said, I'm going to serve God. Was it worth it? Hey, man, was it worth it? We prayed for you for a long time, Brother Mike. Your wife, I guarantee you, prayed for you for a long time. Was it worth it? See, here's the thing. Miss Darlene, was it worth it? You got to ask, is it worth it serving God? Is it? Oh, look at you. You got two preachers. I don't even want to talk to you. That's not even right. Listen, I got to watch my daughter graduate. I'm so very proud. Oh, now, pride goeth before fall, brother. Yeah, I'm waiting on the fall, but I'm going to be proud for now. Amen. I'm very proud of my daughter. I'm very proud of her, but I also understand this. She does not serve her daddy. Huh? Natalie, you don't serve me. You serve the Lord. So if you mess up, take it up with him. See, what you got to understand is this. Was it worth it? Was it worth it? God did not guarantee me her turning out right. Because you're a preacher? Let me ask Brother Hiles how he feels about David Hiles. David Hiles messed up real bad. Yes, Dr. Hiles, was it worth it? He would tell you, yes. Was it worth it? Was it worth serving God? Ask Lois, was it worth it passing the word of the Lord down to Eunice? Was it worth it, Eunice, passing the word of God down to Timothy, making that boy listen to you read that scripture to him? Was it worth it? Was it worth it? Was it worth it? You've got to ask yourself a question. If you're not serving God, you cannot make the statement, is it worth it? But if you are serving God, there's going to be a day that you see the dividends that God gives you pay off. There's going to be dividends. Brother Larry and Brother Dan, there's going to be dividends for serving God for 30 plus 40 years in the bus ministry. There'll be dividends. You may not see them now, Brother Larry, but I promise you, when the little boys and girls come to see you in heaven because of the work you did, it will be worth your service to God. Amen. Is it worth it? Was it worth it? Lois, was it worth it? She would sound off her voice to you and say, yes. Sure, your kids may buck the system. Sure, your kids, but I'm going to tell you, it's worth serving God. It's worth it. You are serving God that has your beginning and your ending already in his hands. He's gone on to prepare a place for you, and you know darn well you cannot pay the debt that you owe. It's worth it serving God. It's worth it. It's worth it trying to do what the Bible says. It's worth it. It's worth it trying to learn the scriptures. It's worth it. Because at the end of the day, even though everything didn't turn out right, Uncle Joe, you can still say, I did what God wanted me to do. It's amazing to me how we have no problem coming to God for salvation. But we do not want to throw on the yoke that is so easy and so light. Think with me, Christian. Is it worth it? Is it worth coming to the church at 8 o'clock in the morning and see that the hallway is flooded again? Knowing that you're going to have to take the shop vac and clean it up. Is it worth it? Is it worth bringing the bus kids in here so they can see the faith that they're never going to be given anywhere else? Is it worth it? Is it worth making sure the lights are on by paying your tithe and doing what you're supposed to do in offerings? Is it worth it? Because if these lights are off, how many lights will go off in the people? Is it worth it? Is it worth praying for a pastor? Is it worth praying for your deacons? Is it worth trying to do what the Bible... Is it worth it? Is it worth it? So you got to ask yourself the question, Christian. Nobody else can serve for you. I've tried to tell you that over and over again. Nobody else can serve for you. Nobody could take the place of Lois. It's Lois. It's Lois or nobody. Nobody can take the place of Eunice. You say, well, let me tell you, God can bring the word to somebody else, and he'll do that, and he knows, and all these things. Yes, but you don't, Christian. You don't know. You can talk about predestination and the elect all you want and use that as a crutch so you don't have to come and serve God. Please, go ahead. But that's your place, and you're forsaking that place, and it does make a difference. I'm going to tell you, it worries me in this day and age that we can so flippantly not serve God. So flippantly. I don't know the reasons. I really don't know. I don't know why people do what they do. But I know this, at the end of the day, we do what we want to do. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's to the best of our ability. I mean, we mess up, but it's in my heart to serve the Lord. And I got to believe it makes a difference. Listen, my daughter someday is going to have babies. Those grandbabies better see it in me. Hey, listen, Lois passed it down. Those grandbabies better see it in my wife. Not because I want, because God wants her to do that. What are they going to see? Well, they're not living their life right. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. No. It's everybody's choice. Right, Brother Mike? It's everybody's choice. I mean, you chose for years not to. I chose for years not to. It's my choice. Now I choose to. See, you got to understand something. It makes a difference what we do with our lives. It makes a difference. And I'm not buying into the fact that we as Christians can't do anything anymore. I'm not buying into the fact that people don't still seek Christ. They're seeking something. They just don't know what it is. And they need us. They need us to take our spot because it is worth it. It is worth it. It's worth you serving the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this morning. Oh God, please, I'm begging you. I'm begging you to do something wonderful. I'm begging you to get in the hearts of everyone, including myself. Calm our fears and let us know it's worth it. Let us know we can't miss a day. We've got to serve you. It's our place to. People know that we're Christians. And if they don't know, shame on us. If we don't live our lives different, shame on us. Christianity is not a thing of convenience. Christianity is a thing of commitment. And Christ has made a commitment to us, the ultimate commitment. Ought we not to make a commitment back to you? Oh God, please. Help us in a special way. I pray that you be with Mrs. Fiscus this morning. I'm so worried about her. I hope she'll be okay. Lord, please be with Brother John and let him know how to take good care of her. Lord, be with our pastor. We need him back. Oh God, we need our shepherd. Be with him in a special way. And Lord, please, let the fire that has begun at Bethel Baptist Church, let that rage even more. Oh God, please, let us realize it is very, very worth serving the Lord. I thank you for what Lois and Eunice have taught us, teaching their children the Holy Scriptures. Lord, I know that that's what we ought to do as a people, teaching each other, nurturing each other, helping each other, letting each other know that, yes, we're sinners, but we still can be servers. Lord, help us in a special way. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.